Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. I can't think of a more divisive topic these days than gay rights. And it's not just in this country where the dialogue is getting heated. Our friends in Australia are attempting to come to grips with those of like gender who would like to tie the knot. Here to talk about same-sex marriage down under is someone who should know a lot about that country. When you hear him speak, you'll know why. Lincoln Steed is editor of Liberty Magazine. Lincoln, what do we need to know?
Well, you sort of gone right to the chase on same-sex, but I want to give a little preamble about my home country, Australia, where I grew up. Left there as a teenager and went back for 9 years after I was married, so it's significant, although I've spent the overwhelming part of my life in the U.S., but not enough to change my accent, as you pointed out, at least not too much.
Not too much, yes.
But, you know, it's worth remembering for particularly those that are listening to this in the U.S., it's probably the majority, that Australia is sort of the shadow to the American experience. Its very settlement was a response to the separation from England, which meant cutting off the ability of England to dump convicts in the colonies.
Yes.
That's where they sent them, to the U.S., but Boston Tea Party and events around meant that the convict ships were turned back. And England was having a great social conflict between the lower class and upper class. And just for stealing a letter or a rabbit off the Lord's land would get you sent to the colonies. Mm. And just a very few years after the American War of Independence, Australia was settled, 1788. Mm-hmm. Because of the American experience, Australia didn't have to fight for its independence. It was given to them quite readily and quite recently, really at the end of the 19th century. In the 1890s, there was a lot of discussion about a constitution and independence and so on. And around the turn of the century, they were given the full game. It was called a federation, where the colonies or the states federated into a similar federal-type government that the U.S. has. And the interesting thing, when we're talking about religious liberty particularly, Australia copied much of the U.S. Constitution, and in particular, the clauses that determine religious freedom. Like, I'll read what it says there. It says, "The Commonwealth shall not make any law for establishing any religion or for imposing any religious observance or for prohibiting the free exercise of any religion, and no religious test shall be required as a qualification for any office or public trust under the Commonwealth."
Sounds very familiar.
Yes, it's identical, just combined, because in the U.S. it's the half of the First Amendment and then a little bit of a clause elsewhere on qualifications for public office. But that's it in Australia. The slight difference is, because they never had a civil war, there are still some rights reserved to the state that the federal government can't easily tamper with. In practice, what the federal government has said on religion is gone, and they don't have or haven't had a major problem. And something very interesting that I should tell our listeners, when they were discussing this section 116 that I just read, there was a little bit of dissent. And it says, I'm reading from a record here, it says, "Protestant churches in New South Wales," that's the state I grew up in, "argued that the Constitution should state that divine providence is the ultimate source of law."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is, again, the same argument that we still have here.
Oh, yes.
Is this founded on religious principles, Christian principles? And it says, "Convention delegates John Quick and Patrick Glynn moved to have God explicitly recognized." Then the Seventh-day Adventist Church campaigned for a strict separation of church and state, concerned that the Commonwealth might prohibit its members from working on Sundays.
I did not know that.
Adventist Church had a very clear role in the formulation and acceptance of a constitution and provisions for these religious liberty, much like the U.S.
Well, much like the U.S., what's happened since that time? We seem to be backpedaling in this country. Is that happening in Australia as well?
America has gone to Hollywood and to
yeah, really.
A societal meltdown.
Yes, yes.
And curiously, in some ways, with the old world connection until more recently in Australia, acknowledging the Queen and so on, while the Australian lifestyle is fairly hedonistic and that the pursuing of models of morality haven't declined as, in some ways as quickly as the US. But all of that's come to an end. And the present Prime Minister, I think responding to pressure from gay rights lobbies and so on, has made it clear that he's going to push for same-sex marriage. And he felt that he had some authority for that because in polls, 70% of the public support same-sex marriage. But that's not quite the same as thinking that the overall population, you know, want to do it uncritically.
Right.
And of course, the churches and many other civil rights groups are bouncing back. And what I thought was very interesting is that the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, has defended the right of a church to refuse to marry gays and has said very particularly, well, I'll quote his words. He says, "As strongly as I believe in the right of same-sex couples to marry, religious freedom is fundamental and it will be protected in any bill that emerges from this parliament."
Hmm. What does that tell you?
We haven't resolved the competing rights issue here.
Yeah.
And the religious forces, now backed by the presidential team, are determined to roll back gay rights. And I just don't know which way that will go. And it's very sad that it can be positioned or put out as religion against immorality.
Now, you and I have talked about this before. What exactly are we saying when we have gays have rights? Qualify that for me.
Well, everybody's supposed to have rights.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
In the U.S., because I'm here now, the U.S., I think, has done something that not all Western countries agree with. Prisoners, those charged with crimes, have some rights taken away because they... the right of free movement
is
taken away by definition. But many countries would still grant that you hold your inherent citizenship rights, including voting. But that's taken away in the U.S. And I've never said it on a religious liberty program or a meeting before, but given the pressures that are used in the U.S. to disenfranchise many voters, like limiting hours, having police roadblocks, and so on, it has to be entertained that in some areas... it's almost certain that legal actions can be used aggressively against a certain group to, if not actually imprison them, when they're charged with crimes, they will lose voting ability, which can shift the dynamic. I don't believe that happens in Australia and most other countries.
So where do you see this developing? This is something that is happening there. It's happened here already. Where is it going?
Well, I do believe Australia is going to approve it.
Yeah.
But it's encouraging. This is why I bring it up. It's encouraging at the same time from the top down, in this case, the head of state, the prime minister, he's saying that they will respect religious liberty rights. The previous administration in the United States appeared to be favoring gay rights over religious liberty. They never spoke against religious liberty, but it was sort of all gay rights. Now we have a new administration that are not keen on gay rights and are trumpeting religious liberty. So it's a culture war of the first degree.
Yes.
I'm thinking that Australia is going to avoid some of that. But there's no question that while Australia is a more secular society in practice, religious affiliations are well established and meaningful. That I think Australia, though, is going to dodge part of this, and yet the religious sentiment is not in favor of gay marriage, so there's going to be a little bounce back. And what's complicating it, in Australia, at the moment, they are pursuing what the U.S. has declined to do, charging Roman Catholic priests for sex abuses, and infamously, Cardinal Pell, the leading Catholic churchman in Australia is on trial for his own sex abuse infractions, or at least charged with them, with many young men over the years. And he actually is the chief financial advisor to Pope Francis. So it involves the Vatican, not just the Catholic Church in Australia. So how the leadership there can promote religious freedom against gay rights, even as here a religion, whether it's gay behavior or just debauchery, I don't know. But there's something funny going on. And I'm sure at a later point we'll have another program to talk about this. But here's the constitutional twin to the United States dealing with a topic that is really embroiling the U.S. in a conflict between civil rights for what religious people see a moral failing and the right of religious practice.
And the rights of humans to be humans. It sounds like you're sort of hinting that there should be a compromise somehow in this group?
Well, the compromise should be that as I've said many times, religious freedom is defined as freedom, yes, not coercion.
Yes, yes.
And no matter how corrupt we think society or individuals in it, I see under the rights of religious practice, or proclamation and interchange with other people, it doesn't give you the right to marginalize, well, certainly to criticize in a charitable way, but not to exclude and to try to make out that these others are less citizens of a civil society than people of faith.
And we're seeing that, of course, in this country with the baker and the photographer and these cases that are coming up. So where do you see it coming down? I mean, can there be a compromise in this? If you have these two sets of rights, human rights and religious rights, face-to-face, what should happen?
Well, what should happen is an element of live and let live.
There you go. Okay.
The freedom to proclaim and speak about your faith and the freedom for people, what God gave us, if you read the Bible carefully, the freedom to disobey, the freedom to destroy your life if you're so inclined, which is a great tragedy, and the responsibility of people of faith is to reach out and to offer help to reclaim people from bad choices.
Mm.
But we can't, just like with children, you can't force them.
No.
Forcing, you know, one of the Bible says, honor your parents. It also says, don't entice your children to wrath.
Right, right.
You can do that in a bad witness, too.
Well, this is an ongoing situation. Sounds like it's happening in other parts of the world, Australia, for instance, and we'll keep an eye on it for you, listener. That's our job here at Liberty Magazine. LibertyMagazine.org is the website. Lincoln Steed is his editor. I'd recommend you go there and listen to these programs again and find other resources available to you. That's all at LibertyMagazine.org. Thank you, Lincoln. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651. Or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.